Welcome everyone to Time for Change. I'm Dr. Michelle, and we are here at Time for Change, where we talk about change and transformation and initiating change, in sustaining change, and in embracing and thriving through change in any aspect of our lives as individuals and as leaders. And today we have with us Yasmin Baraji, all the way from Ireland, and I'm super excited to have you here with us, Yasmin, to talk about time management. And Yasmin is the author of Tiny Time, Big Results. And as a working mom myself, I'm all about hearing any tips, any information on powerful time management. I feel that it's such an important topic. So welcome, Yasmin. I'm so glad to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Michelle. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
I'm so glad. And tell me about what brought you to this subject. I mean, you're describing in your book and in your website the struggle that you've had as a working mom just to manage time. Time is such an important resource. What brought you to this field of effective time management?
Yeah, so I used to work in corporate. I was vice president of leadership development for a multinational, and we're at the height of the global financial crisis. This was about 2011. I got taken into the HR office and got told my job was no longer here, you know.
Okay.
And so that was my redundancy. And we live 2 hours northwest of Dublin. So
right.
It's a rural community. My husband's a farmer, and we had a 15-month-old son at the time.
Right.
And I knew I didn't want to be a commuter mom. I didn't want to only see my child in the morning and in the evening if I was lucky. And, you know, it was a real opportunity for us to envision what our life could look like.
Right.
You know, and I'd always had this hankering to start my own business. And I thought, right, this is my opportunity. I'm going to see what happens. And I really do describe the first 2 years of being in business as like being in the wilderness, because I really didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
But what I was doing was I was working with clients, helping them around time management.
Right.
And, you know, working with business owners and helping them to be a lot more effective in what they were doing. And I know it got to the point where I kind of was starting to stress about the fact that I didn't have enough time because my little one was tiny.
Right.
And very demanding. And, you know, it was like this negative affirmation, Michelle, you know,
right.
I haven't got time.
Right.
How many people can relate to that?
Right.
And, you know, and then I remembered something that I'd heard years ago, and it says, you know, when you ask good quality questions, you get good quality answers.
Love it.
So I started to shift and just said, how could I make this work? How
right.
could I have a profitable business
right.
whilst only working a few hours? And that really is where the start of Tiny Time, Big Results kind of really came about.
Right, right. And you're talking about running a profitable business in 20 hours or less a week. And when I read that and I read your message, and I related so much to your message because I remember at some point, you know, when you go through a PhD program, at some point there's an interview and they ask you all kinds of questions. And it's sort of a screening of where you are at and what you know before you even get to exams. And so I remember like it was yesterday that I was asked, what is your greatest difficulty in the program? And I remember just, you know, with a heavy sigh, just saying, time. I just don't have a lot of time. And so when I read your message, I related so much to the challenge. And I feel that over the years, if there's anything that kept me sane through my own journey, it was really the ability to harshly prioritize. Harshly, because sometimes you have to make very hard choices. Do you feel that it's almost that it's a critical skill and that you just have to get better and better at prioritizing? And how do you do that? How do you prioritize when you want to get so much done?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was reading your story and I could see that you had so much going on. It's like,
yeah.
I felt exhausted just, you know, reading it. So, you know, I think we can all relate to this feeling like we don't have enough time.
Right.
What I found was that people were coming to me saying, can you help me manage my time?
Right.
I kind of feel like that's the wrong question. I feel like we should be looking at, well, what are we focusing on?
Right.
And this was really important from a business perspective, because as a business owner, like when I worked in a multinational, if I had a tech issue, I rang technology. If I had a finance issue, I rang finance. I now was tech and finance.
Right.
And I was doing everything.
Right.
And I realized that that wasn't sustainable.
Right.
So I think prioritizing is such an important part of what we need to do, but we need to make sure that what we're focusing on are the right things to do.
Right.
So that we're prioritizing the right actions rather than just saying, here's my big to-do list, and I'm just gonna, you know, go A, you know, A is the number one, and you know, when you do like all the different classifications that you can do.
Right.
And so as a, you know, for me, it was very much around simplifying.
Right.
Simplifying, and then my thought process was amplify.
Right.
So simplify and then amplify. So giving yourself less to do.
Right. You know where I completely relate to what you're saying? I found that when I had less to do, I had, this is from back when I was a younger mom and younger overall, and I before I embarked on my journey, right? So I used to have these long to-do lists that were like, and then I used to say, oh my gosh, I have so much to do. And I find that recently, and I'm really sharing something from the last few months because I'm just getting busier and busier. My to-do list is literally three things that I write to myself on a piece of paper, and I say, even if the world collapses, those three things are happening today, no matter what. And I just feel that I can't even think about more, but these need to happen. And I found that this was my only way of getting things done. How do you feel about it? Am I doing good? How do you feel about that?
That's a great idea, because you know what? Especially as women, we feel like we should be doing more.
Right.
You know, like, I'm sure there's more things I could be doing at home. I'm sure there's more things I could be doing with the kids. And, you know, and for me, I, you know, it's so funny because when people say to me, oh, you're running a business and I've got three kids under the age of 9. Oh, you must be so busy.
Right.
It's, you know, and back in the day, I probably would have worn that as a badge of honor and went, yes, I'm very busy.
Yeah.
And now I kind of go, well, no, I'm as busy as I want to be. I have a full life. I don't have a busy life.
Right.
And I think that's the reframe.
So it's making that distinction between being busy and making progress, which are sometimes mistaken to be the same thing, but being busy doesn't necessarily mean that you're making progress.
Absolutely. I mean, I could sit here literally scrolling all day on social media and think I'm building my business.
Right.
But I'm not. Unless, you know, and I could choose to do a video or, you know, go to a networking event or go and just meet somebody for a coffee that could help me grow my business. That's a better use of my time. So it's about understanding where do I need to put my energy. And I think it's also about how you manage your energy. Like I'm great in the morning. Like I'm a morning person.
Right.
You know, and then, you know, as the day wears on, I mean, I work typically in the morning, like between 9 a.m. and 11:40. They're my working hours because I then have to go and pick up my youngest from preschool.
Right.
Then I have to pick up my daughter. Then I have to pick up my son. So then it's like I'm in full mom duty.
Right.
You know, all of that kind of stuff. So for me, what the time that I do spend working, I know I have a one pager that I use that plans out my whole week. And that tells me what I need to focus on. And then anything else is a bonus.
Right.
But they're the key deliverables. And if I work on that, I'm good.
And when do you create it?
I create that at the beginning of each week. But what I do is I kind of create 90-day sprint kind of calendar, if you like, and say, this is what I want to achieve in the next 90 days.
Right.
Then I break it down like, okay, so what's going to happen this month? And then I can break it down to the week. And that keeps me honest. That just helps me to stay focused. And what I love doing is I kind of file those away.
Right.
And, you know, because, you know, when the time when you beat yourself up and you go, I've done nothing, I'm, you know, I've not been productive. And I look back and I think, wow, you actually got a lot done.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. You know, I've been thinking recently a lot about motivation and about, you know, how can people who feel demotivated motivate themselves, et cetera. And I was reading a lot of materials and research about it. And I just came to the conclusion that it's not about motivation. It's about that prioritizing. It's picking up what matters to you the most, forcing yourself to create the goals one or two, not 100 things, not 30 things, not 10 things. What matters to you the most, and then just honing down on that and creating a very detailed plan, because the brain always wants you to get busy with other things and get distracted. So it's a matter of refocusing yourself around what has to get done so that you can make that progress.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head there. It's, you know, it's why you want to do something, you know, it's the reason why. And so for me, it was very much around wanting to be able to do this work that really, you know, I just love doing, but also being there for my family. Like, we have, you know, when I started, I had the 15-month-old. I then had two more babies.
Right.
You know, so it was, for me, it was very much, I've got to make this work.
Yes.
I have to make this work, you know,
yes.
because, you know, I'm still living in rural Ireland. We weren't moving anywhere.
Yes.
And so for me, that was my driver.
So I want to talk about perfectionism for a moment, because I had this conversation with my daughter where I kept saying done is better than perfect. You know, for me, I always say that if I were a perfectionist, I don't think I would have been able to accomplish the things that I wanted to accomplish, because I would get stuck on a lot of small details. And I want to hear your perspective on perfectionism and how you see that in the context of time management.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a big cause of resistance for a lot of people. It's like, I want it to be perfect. I want it to be perfect. And, you know, I think for me, I'm very similar to yourself, Michelle, that, you know, I say that to my kids all the time. It's like, done is better than perfect.
Right.
You know, I like to, you know, especially from the context of a business, I think money loves speed. I want to get things out there. I want to test. Yep. I want to see what works. And, you know, and I have the same conversation with my clients that they're like, well, it's not quite right. And I haven't got the graphics and, you know, it's not just the, you know, the font and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, get it out there.
Get it out. Yep. Get it done.
Get it done, because I can look back and I can cringe and look at what I did 6 years ago.
Right.
But that was me 6 years ago.
Right.
No, it's like Maya Angelou said, that, you know, when you know better, you do better. That's and so true. Now I know better. And so I do better. But I can't give myself, you know, 6 years ago, Yasmin, a hard time, because I did the best that I could. And I think that's really important, that, you know, I kind of have that belief that perfectionism doesn't exist. So you're aspiring to something that doesn't even actually exist.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You do the best you can. Like, you know, for the kids, like, you know, it might be a get out clause for them. Like, oh, well, you know, it's done.
I said, no,
you put your best into it.
Right.
And then you have to say, right, it's done now.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's talk about people who have, and so many people do, I think most of us have some kind of a project, something that they want to do that they just don't find the time for. So that would be like, oh, you know, I have this great idea for a book that I really want to publish, or I have this great idea for a product that I really want to be working on, and I have a great idea for a podcast, whatever it may be. And so people say, you know, I wish I could do that. You know, I keep putting it off. It's on the back burner. I'm really busy. So if I'm one of those people and there's a great idea that I have, help me manage tiny time with big results. Let's say I'm working full time. I have young kids. I'm super busy, tons of errands, tons of things to do, but I have an idea for a great book or a great product. Walk me through it. What do I do?
Okay. So, I mean, this is something that was very real for me when I wrote my book.
Right.
And it's interesting because I was writing my book for about 2 to 3 years before I actually did anything with it.
Right.
And I was writing a little bit here and a little bit there. I was really just dabbling.
Right.
And what I would say, the first thing is that you got to really commit to that goal.
Okay.
You know? Because when you commit to it, then you're like, okay, I got to make this work. And that moment came for me, like, I published my book in 2018, and that was the year that I turned 40. And for me, it was like, okay, you got to get it done this year.
Yes.
You know, because people kept saying to me, when's your book coming? And, you know, it's that thing when you put it out there and people hold you accountable, and then you're like, oh, I haven't done it yet. And
it's process.
So I said to myself, right, you're going to do it. But what really worked incredibly well for me was, first of all, I committed to getting the book written.
Right.
What happened was I sent a couple of chapters to an editor, And she came back with loads of questions. And I looked at what I had written and I went, oh my God, that's complete rubbish. Absolute right. rubbish. I
yeah.
don't like it. So I trashed the whole lot of it. I threw it away.
Right.
And I rewrote the book in a month. So I wrote 35,000 words in a month. And the reason why I was able to do that was because I had hired an editor.
Right.
And we'd said, like, we're going to get it to you by this date. And I worked backwards.
Yes.
Because what I wanted to do was I wanted to have my first draft written. So if somebody's thinking, I want to write a book, this is kind of how I did it. I said, I want to have a first draft written, but I didn't want it just to go to the editor. I wanted to send it to 5 test readers.
Right.
Who, you know, look at it and read it and say, yes, this makes sense.
Right.
So I had 5 test readers. I gave them time to read it and give me feedback.
Right.
But I had to have it to them by a particular date. Again, it's the deadline. And
yes.
honestly, Michelle, there was no way I was going to push that deadline out.
Right.
I was so committed to doing that. And so for me, because I knew that it was going to be a concentrated amount of effort, you know, in a short period of time, it wasn't something that I was going to say, oh, I'm going to do this for the next year, which would just feel unmanageable. But I was waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning and working for 2 hours before the kids got up and I had to get them to school.
Right.
So I did that. But I knew it was only for a short period of time.
Right.
I got the book written, the first draft. I mean, like, yes, there was lots of work to do with it after that.
But right.
The first draft was written and then it went through the whole process. And that's how I managed to write it, publish it and market it in 5 months. And it hit number one bestseller on launch day.
Amazing. I have to say that, you know, a lot of times people say, I commit to doing something and then it doesn't happen. So I want to talk about, I want to take a tip out of what you're saying. You know, what does it mean to commit? To commit means that you have to have a specific goal with a deadline because, you know, the way the mind works is especially when you're busy and different things happen. I mean, life happens, right? As we set goals, life happens. So when you set a deadline, and especially in your case, you're also describing a situation where you involved other people in that deadline. So it's not just you, it's also now public. So now you're more accountable. So it's not just a matter of how do I make it happen? How much do I really want it? Because you're also describing that you've had an event, you turned 40 and you said, that's it, I'm done, I'm getting this done. But to create that deadline and to make that deadline public makes a big difference. So that can come into play. Let's say if I say, oh, you know, I want to lose 10 pounds, I'm going to lose 10 pounds by my birthday. Oh, you know, I'm going to sign up for this program at school. Then I do it by the beginning of the school year. And then I'm going to tell a few people about it so that I make myself stand, you know, up to my own deadline. So that's so important. I can't stress enough how important a deadline is.
Yeah. And the milestones, like they make a huge difference when you right. hit a milestone and you're like, oh, great, you know, and you're giving yourself that reward and saying, well done. Okay, let's move on to the next thing until you get it done.
Right.
And like that, you know, there's been plenty of times where I've committed and it's I've not followed through. But again, it goes back to like why you're doing something.
Right. Right. And that why makes a big difference, right? I mean, if you really, really want something, you are going to make. Do you feel that a lot of times when you take the approach of tiny time, big results, it's just a better way of managing your brain because the brain gets very scattered and we always come up with excuses, you know, why something doesn't get done. And so do you feel that when you allocate time, you're describing, I think, 9 o'clock to 11:30, so it's 2.5 hours a day. And you say, that's my time to get, do you feel that this way you perform better than let's say if you've had the whole day?
Absolutely. Yes. I completely do. I get a lot done in the time that I have. And it's a skill. It's not like something that just, you know, I was just really good at.
Right.
But what I found is when I create systems for myself, everything is so much more smoother. You know,
right.
So when I describe my one pager, that's my system for allocating the work for the week. You know, from a family perspective, I have a system where I know what I'm going to cook for the whole week and I've done all my shopping and, you know,
right.
even with the kids, getting them ready for school, I have a system.
Right.
And so for me, you know, I remember back in, you know, when I was in corporate and, you know, if you had like a half day holiday that you were going to go somewhere,
Yeah.
I got so much done in the 4 hours that I was there compared to the 8 hours that I would be there.
Right.
So I know it's possible. And I think it's when your mind is focused.
Yes.
You're like, this is what I got to get done.
Right.
And it's also a little bit about how you optimize your energy. So I often describe it that, you know, if you are sitting down and you've got a couple of hours of work and you do something that's creative, maybe you're writing a blog or maybe you're doing a podcast.
Right.
And then you go into doing something quite mundane, like maybe filing or bookkeeping or something. And then you go back into creative.
Yes.
That's quite a shift in energy. Whereas if you just say, for the next 2 hours, I'm going to be in creative mode.
Right.
Then you're able to kind of get into that flow space, flow state, and stay there.
Yes.
And then tomorrow you can do the admin and you can do all of those things and you don't need as much energy for that as when you're doing the real creative stuff.
You know, I've been noticing sometimes that if I want to get really focused and for whatever reason, I can't, I'm distracted. I'm not at my best. You know, I know when I'm at my best. I got to the point in my life that I know when I'm really focused and that's when I sit down and that's when I write and that's when I do everything. But there are other days that it just doesn't happen for me. And what I've learned is to just let go. You can't force yourself to focus when you're not focused. So what I've been doing is if I feel that I'm not focused, I would go and do something manual where my brain just hibernates and I'm getting something done, but it doesn't require me as much effort. And then after a while, when I do that and I let my brain go in autopilot and hibernate, I've rested enough to the point that I say, I think I can do this now. I'm just going to, you know, make myself a cup of coffee and sit down and get this done. And I feel that it helped me so much to let go of the guilt in, oh my gosh, I'm sitting here and I'm not focused. Why am I not focused? Maybe, you know, there's some kind of a, no, there's nothing going on. It's just, I'm not at my best and I'm going to wait until I'm at my best to get things done then. Do you do it sometimes too, or do you handle it? What do you do when you're not at your best?
This is the kind of the number one piece of advice that I give to myself and to, you know, anybody that's struggling, especially if you're sitting at your desk and, like, you know, maybe you've got a problem in front of you or you're trying to do something and it feels really hard. And I say, go for a walk.
Right.
Go for a walk. You know, for me, that's a very meditative practice where you just go and let go. And you say,
okay,
I'm gonna go for a walk for 20 minutes.
Yep.
Clear my head.
Yep.
Because I know that once the kids come home, it's really hard for me to get stuff done because, you know, I'm trying to look after them and things. So I know that I have got that limited amount of time to be able to really focus. So, but I'm not going to push it.
Yeah.
So if I go even for a 10-minute walk, just go for a walk around the block.
Right.
I come back, I'm in the space again.
Right.
Or I might play some music.
Right.
You know, something that's really inspiring and go, right, okay. And so I think it's very much about knowing yourself, knowing what motivates you, knowing what gets you going.
Yes.
And then like that, you know, there's going to be some days where, you know, if the kids haven't slept at night and I haven't slept, you know, they'll just be like, okay, do you know what? It's just not going to happen today.
Today is not happening. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? I think it's almost, unrealistic of, us within the context of society to expect ourselves to just be productive around the clock like the Energizer, you know, bunnies and just go, 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 go. And I feel that the approach that you're preaching for, tiny time, big results, is so much healthier from a mental health standpoint where you say, I don't have to go, 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 go. I can forgive myself for the times that I'm just not, I would rather not produce work when I'm not at my best than to force myself. I feel that it's so frustrating to try to produce when you're not ready for it, that I would rather forgive myself and just wait for the opportunity. And you're right, you do get to know yourself to recognize when you can and when you can't. Also in terms of times of the day, like you described, the morning versus the evening. And for some people, it's the night where they're the most productive.
And I think there's a fine line between knowing that you're just not feeling it and that there's actually some resistance to doing the work. And again, that's knowing about, you know, knowing yourself, and you think, am I procrastinating? Am I putting it off for a reason?
Right.
And I think it's all about that self-awareness that you know that you think, actually, do you know what? I'm just really tired right now. And you go, great, that's fine. Go and have a rest. Go and have a nap. I love my afternoon naps, you know, they're great. And or otherwise it could just be, okay, what's holding me back? You know, is there a fear here? And just being gentle with yourself and just working through that. But I think it goes really to the heart of, if you have, you know, a simple business model, if you have a simple task list,
right,
it is so much easier to manage.
Absolutely. So if you take all the knowledge that you have now from building the business and you go back to yourself as in the corporate world, so where the workday is longer and there's a lot of pressure and there are a lot of things to do, how would you apply those principles, let's say, in the world of corporate?
Well, I think for me, it would be very much about being very clear about what my deliverables are.
Yep.
You know, because I do get frustrated when, you know, people talk about, you know, you got to go in at 8 o'clock and you got to come home at 5 o'clock or whatever your hours might be.
Right.
Whereas I think I much prefer that idea that, you know, as someone who's going into work, you know, measure me on my deliverables,
right,
not on the amount of time that I spend in the office.
Absolutely. And also measure myself on my deliverables and not on the amount of time that I spend at the office, which is equally important. So give me the three most, I mean, we're all about small lists, right? So give me the three most important pieces of advice for someone that feels burned out, worn out, just no energy at this point. So, you know, their life is so demanding on so many aspects and they're just drained. What would you tell them? What would be your three pieces of advice for them for things to do differently tomorrow?
Okay. So first of all, I'd say go and have a nap.
Yes.
go and have a rest. Break. Yeah. Have a nap.
Right. Yes.
I mean, I have like a 5 minute nap and it just works wonders. So it's not like having a long snooze, 5 minutes, 10 minutes.
Right. Break. Yeah. Okay.
Secondly, I would say to them, you know, like start thinking about what you can say no to, you know,
it's
really, really important
because
we take on too much. Like one of the best things that I've ever done is hired a cleaner and she comes every 2 weeks and it's such a, you know, it's so great.
Yeah.
And you know, what I would really say is look very carefully about how you want to live your life and being very, very deliberate about what you do and how you spend your time, because you know, so often we say, I don't have the time, and yet we might, you know, and I'm guilty of doing this as well. I think, how long did I spend scrolling on Twitter? How long did I spend watching that TV program that I wasn't even watching?
Right.
You know? And so it's almost like doing that little mini audit for yourself and saying, where am I spending my time?
Right.
Like I'm sitting there thinking, I haven't got time to meditate or do my yoga. But yet I have time to sit and watch something that's, you know, my husband and I, every time we sit down together, we're like, oh, there's nothing on TV.
Right.
You know, that's the common complaint.
You know? Right.
So for me, it's like, go and have a rest. Start saying no and be honest with yourself about where you are spending your time. Because, you know, like anything, where you spend your time, where you spend your money, it's all about what you're valuing at that moment in time. And so just kind of like, you know, just think of it as like a mirror and just put it up there and say, do I really not have a lot of time or can I make it easier for myself? And, you know, kind of my fourth tip, Michelle, would just be around create as many systems as you possibly can. And I'm not like talking like complicated systems or Excel spreadsheets or any of that kind of stuff, but just create little systems that will help you to be, you know, get things done more efficiently.
Yasmin Farahji, thank you so much for joining us today. I think we've all learned so much about the importance of prioritizing. I think we've all learned so much about the power of saying no to the things that just waste your time. And I think we've all learned about the ability of the human mind to focus so that we can get big results in less time. And I think overall, the tone that I'm getting from what you're saying is the ability to just accept yourself and love yourself and accept the circumstances rather than go against the current and force yourself to perform and force yourself to produce, which really doesn't work. We're not workhorses, we're people, and we need inspiration and we need to be at our best. So thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure, and I hope everything won't be as rainy as you've described in Ireland this weekend, and I hope it's not too cold in New York.
Lovely. Thanks so much, Michelle.
Thank you.